When I was in the youth pastor in Modesto, the guy who trained me in youth ministry, Bill Stewart, when he was youth pastor in the San Fernando Valley, had a young man who was in his youth group named Andre Crouch. And so every once in a while, my friend Bill would get Andre to come up and do stuff for the youth group and do our camps and stuff. And I think one of the great songwriters of that part of the Christian generation, but the song Through It All. And if you know the words, the chorus, please sing along, or the rest of it you can sing along too. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that He only gave me trials to make me strong. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been a lot of places and I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, in those blessed lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms that He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Just sing with me. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. Amen. We have a real treat today. One of the joys of being the pastor here is the team of people that we support who are doing ministry around the world. In places that most of us would have a very hard time sorting out. Bernie, as he oversees with his team of people, Starfish Ministry, is impacting that island nation of Haiti. It is it's the poorest place in the Western Hemisphere. More money has been poured into Haiti than any other place in the Western Hemisphere to help. And it will be people like Bernie, his team, and ourselves as a church partnering with that vision. That's how things change. So Bernie, come and share with us what's going on.
Gary, it's great to be here. Of course, we always come to visit family. And this time, a new member of the family. Oh, he's not here. He's in the nursery. But it's really great, to have your grandkids now become parents and your kids becoming grandparents, and then my wife and I to become great-grandparents. What a joy that is. And Jackson is the first in our family, in the Bovenkamp side. Now, in the Bridges side, they've got a lot of great-grandkids already. But for us, this is the first. And we just trust that through the parenting of his parents and the grandparenting, that Jackson will lead this new generation to follow Jesus. So thank you. It's such a blessing to watch these young people be parents for this these 4 months, but it's exciting for us. It's always good to be here to share with you guys as well. You're such a blessing in terms of the support that you give to our ministry, partnering with us, and thank you very much. The monthly support, as well as many of you sponsor children and such, thank you. And then more specifically, this past Christmas, when you had a special emphasis on supporting a church building project in Mornchez. And what a blessing that is. I had been in Haiti last September and had been in the village of Mornchez and found that Pastor Pauly told me that the double classroom that they were using for a church building was packed out. And as they were starting school again in September, they always had encouraged the children to bring their parents to church. But he says, we can't do that because there's no room for them. And so when Pastor Gary called me up and asked about project possibilities that you guys could support, that came to mind, and you guys have so generously supported that project. And we're at the point right now where we finalized the land where the building's going, and I'll be in Haiti in a couple weeks, and we're going to start the foundation of that building. So thank you so much. We trust that God is going to do marvelous things in that village, and many, many will come to Christ, and you're a part of that. Thank you very much. It was in 1997 that Cheryl and I had a call to take over the operation of an orphanage in Haiti, and that was the beginning of what became Starfish Ministries. But one of the concerns that we had at the time, myself especially, was how do the funds come about? And having been in business, across my desk almost every day were pleas for money and fundraisers, can you donate this, can you do that? And I got so tired of that as a business person that I said, if we're going to start a ministry, I don't want to be part of that. Now, I'm not against fundraisers and that type of thing, but I said, I just don't want to be a part of that. And that's when God showed us this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful is he who has called you, and he also will bring it to pass. God is faithful. He called us, and he promised to bring it to pass. And Cheryl and I decided at that time, we're not going to do fundraisers. We're not against them. God uses those as well. But we're not going to do fundraisers in our ministry, and we never have. And so for the last 20 years, God has provided. He keeps his promise because he's so faithful. And every month the money is there, sometimes in little ways. Just last Sunday, my little granddaughter, Jillian, came up and handed me an envelope. $5 was in there because she had tithed her egg money that she was selling eggs to the family and neighbors. But here a few years ago, we were short $10,000 at the end of a month, and we needed it for the feeding of the children in the schools the next month. I didn't know where it was going to come from, but I trust that God was faithful, and he would be. And just that night, as I had been praying about it, my sister from Tacoma came and handed me an envelope. And I put it in my pocket. After she left, I opened it up, and there was a check for $15,000 from somebody that I saw on the check. I'd never heard of the guy before. I never knew who he was. But he had his telephone number there, and I called him up, and I thanked him and told him how much he had blessed, how much God had used him to feed children that month. And he said his wife had been in an accident 5 years before, and the insurance had just paid off, and he had tithed that, and somebody had told him that we could use money in Haiti. God brings it to pass because he's faithful. We're so thankful to him. But he also brings it to pass in terms of personnel. I'm so thankful for Glenn, who's been such a big part of our ministry for so many years. God brought it to pass through Glenn, who partnered with me and was so good to be a partner with me because we balanced each other out. He'd straighten me out many times when I was getting off base. because he has that vision for how things should be done. And so I appreciate him so much. So 6 years ago, when Pastor Deosian resigned from being our director, Glenn brought me Daniel Thelusman. And God had prepared Daniel. Glenn and I, in June of 2011, sat down with Daniel for a couple hours in a hotel room in Port-au-Prince. And we listened to him share his heart. And we saw how much God had prepared him for this time. And he became the director of Starfish Ministries. And we're so thankful for what God had done in his life. And God gets the glory because he's the one that's bringing it to pass. He's the one that's done it. There's a verse in Matthew 17, verse 20, that says, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Now, I always struggled with that verse because I wondered, why would you have to move a mountain? Well, today I'm seeing mountains moved in the country of Haiti. In the village of Bel Air, which is just up the hill, up the mountain from Tricot, we used to have to hike there on a goat path. And those of you that have been to Haiti, certainly Glenn and Boone and others have hiked that hike. And Daniel came to me about a year ago and said, you know, we need to start a school and a church in that village. But how are we going to get the materials? You know, it'd have to be on a donkey or on the backs of people in order to get it there. So as we talked about it, we decided we need to build a road. So Daniel met with the people in Bel Air and challenged them. And with picks and shovels and wheelbarrows, a road was built. It took about 2.5 to 3 months to build it, but now we can drive up there. Much of that path was right on top of the hill or the mountain. So the mountain was moved. And then we needed land for a school. And it's a hilly country, and it's very difficult to find a flat place to build anything. And so Daniel and the people of the village looked around that village, and they finally spotted a piece of land that was the flattest of the village area. And it turned out that Daniel owned that property. Now, he didn't really want to own the property. It was only that somebody had come to him a couple of years before that and had asked him to buy the property. And he said, I don't need any property in Bel Air. And the guy said, I want you to buy it. You see, we had helped that man when he had a medical issue a few years before that, and he had then borrowed money from some of his friends and neighbors, and he hadn't been able to pay him back. And he says, I've got to sell this property so I can pay back these people. And Daniel says, no, he says, why don't you just work a little longer? No, he says, I'm selling the property, and I'm going to sell to somebody. I want to sell to you. So Daniel reluctantly bought the piece of property. But God brought it to pass because he knew we needed that piece of property all these years later. And so we now have that piece of property and have built a school on that property. Well, now we need a church. And we didn't have enough property for the church. And Daniel says, well, what about that hill there, the next hill up there? And I said, well, how are you going to build on that hilltop there? Besides that, there was a tree on the property that the owner said that we could buy the property, but we couldn't take the tree down because it was some kind of a voodoo rite or something that they needed that tree for some of their worship stuff. And Daniel says, well, we're not buying the property unless we can take down the tree. And the guy was a little dejected, but came back to Daniel a few days later and says, I'll sell you the land. And he says, well, I'm taking down the tree. He says, yeah, that's okay. The devil can go find another place to live. So the tree came down, got burnt down, and now, 4 weeks ago tomorrow, the people of the village started cutting down that mountaintop. And today, we're within a couple of days of that flat spot with a solid foundation on this mountain. God is moving mountains. He brings it to pass. He uses guys like Daniel to do that. We're so thankful for what he's doing. And, of course, it's provided about 40 jobs for the people of that village to cut down that mountaintop, which is also a blessing. Well, I could go on and on. The medical clinic that's now going, it was a process that Glenn was so involved in and did the design work and such. God used him to bring that to pass. And now that medical clinic is bringing to pass the needs of the people in the villages there. And on and on. But it was on April 11, just a few weeks ago. We were leaving Trecott, heading back to Port-au-Prince. Daniel was driving. I was riding alongside him. We talk all the way between Trecott and Port-au-Prince, but we got about 20 or 25 minutes out of Trecott, and Daniel says, look at that piece of land up there on the left. And I look up there at that piece of land, and nice flat piece of land, and I said, well, what do you got in mind, Daniel? He says, I think we need to build a Bible school, seminary, maybe a trade school, university. And, of course, my business mind starts working right away, and I say, boy, that's going to cost millions of dollars. And Daniel looks over at me with a little grin on his face, and he says, faithful is he who has called you, and he also will bring it to pass. And we trust that if that's what God's calling us to do, he will bring it to pass. He's brought back to pass the church building in Mornchez through you and your help and your partnership with us. Thank you very much for being a part of that.
If you've ever been to Haiti or the Caribbean or Mexico or Africa, and you've heard the brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping the Lord, it's a little bit more vocal than here. I anticipate a year from now, some of you will have a chance at some point to go, and you'll hear that worship, and you'll hear people praising the Lord. You know, we don't want any credit for it. We just want to point people to Jesus. Hey, let's pray as we continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And we pray, Lord, as we continue our series on truths that transform, and we look at this important verse, faithful is he who called you, and he will bring it to pass. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I smile as I heard the story about Daniel, and I want to thank Glenn for introducing me to Daniel and our church, because ultimately this is that I'm a 60-year-old man. I got 30 years at least to go, okay? But here's what I know is that we have to pour our lives into the faithful, available, and teachable people who are in the generations below us. That's how it works. That's people poured into my life. That I may catch a vision larger than just myself or my own insecurities or fears, a big vision. I prayed for Daniel when because he posted on his Facebook the picture of that tree. They bought the property, and then he had been told, listen, that tree's got voodoo in it, and you better not burn it down. It's going to, get some bad mojo and stuff. I've never seen a tree. They set it on fire, and they kind of burned from, it was the strangest looking thing I've ever seen. And my prayers, though, were for Daniel. It's not that the devil lives in that tree, or maybe he does, or some kind of weird spiritual thing, but my prayers were for the fact that nation is filled with people who hold on to that evil. And it's not just relegated to Haiti. We also have it in our county. People may not be doing voodoo at trees and stuff, but this last week I was become starkly aware of some of the statistics that will become much more prevalent as the hits our paper, and we talk about Lake County, of one of the five counties in the United States that has been named as Welcome to Wellville, and these statistics as to why they chose our county are frightening. The level of abuse and drug use and violence, of dysfunction at every level within families, is staggering. And so we need to pray for our school teachers. We need to pray for those involved with social services. We need to pray for those in law enforcement. We need to pray for all that. But here's what I got to tell you. Change happens by the grace and power of God.
Amen.
Now, I realize this is that we should have facilities here that are safe and well kept, and they're a tool for the Lord. So a new play area, parking, things like that. Desiring, oh Lord, if you so desire, bring even more kids to our Awana program and our youth program. Oh Lord, if you so desire, as we desire to have small groups all over the county, all around the lake. But ultimately this, it only works because of the faithfulness of God. Only works because of the faithfulness of God. A month ago, I preached on this same sermon, and I looked at, starting at verse 12, where you have these plea of how they're supposed to live. And it's actually like bullet points coming at us of different things we're supposed to do. Let me read starting at verse 12 again. And we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who directly labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. So basically, it's telling them, appreciate your leaders. Then it goes on, and that you esteem very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. And I shared with that earlier. That means those who choose to live their life without rules within the context of the church. The unruly says, admonish them. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient to all men, see that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seeking after that which is good in one another and for all men. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you who are in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. He starts with saying, hey, in this Christian life thing, we must be engaged. This is not something we mail in. This is being involved with the Lord, and the Lord is saying, here's how you should live. If you read John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. We are abiding in Christ, and very interesting enough, he talks about how our love for him is manifest, how it's shown. And in John 15, our love for Christ is manifest, or abiding is manifest by this, by obeying him, by walking with him. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's fine, but it doesn't stop there. Friends, you cannot get to heaven by just doing these things. Because I read on here, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a prayer, that it is in Christ himself that we are sanctified, and that he's not through with us yet. He is bringing us to completion at the time of Christ, at his coming. And then we have this verse. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. So the sermon today is God is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, a very ancient verse, really was at the critical time in the late nation of Israel before they would enter the land. He would remind the people, hey, you belong to me. I have made a covenant with you. Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God. You know who's not God? You're not God. I won't have you turn to the person next to you and tell them, hey, you're not God. But they're not. All right? God is God. Know therefore that the Lord is God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is faithful. God is faithful. Here's some other verses about his faithfulness that I really like. Psalm 36:5, Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. Psalm 92:2, To declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. Psalm 100, verse 5, For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 146, 6, Who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever. Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Well, a verse that we're going to be looking at next week. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom we were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that powerful verse about temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but is when tempted will provide a way of escape that you will be able to endure it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, But God is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And then 2 Timothy 2:13. This is a peculiar verse, but something that I have clung to. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Friends, the only way we will make it is because of the faithfulness of God. Everyone look here. Whether you understand it or believe it or not, you are created by God and you are eternal beings. God created you that you may share in his glory, you may become his child. He calls people to that purpose, but ultimately this, you cannot make it without him. You don't show up and say, God, here, I've cleaned up my act now, let me in. No. For by grace you have been saved by faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Verse 10 says, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. Friends, the whole purpose of our being is to glorify God with our lives. We glorify God because he's faithful. Now, how does he manifest this faithfulness? Or what is the word manifest? How does he show that faithfulness to us? Well, Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago, with perfect faithfulness. So he manifests it in the counsel he gives to us. In the counsel he gives to us. For whatever reason, I'm going to keep picking on Bernie since he's here. God laid upon his heart a burden for Haiti. Well, if he puts upon his heart a burden for Haiti, then he could just be ultimately frustrated by he's put this burden, but he has not provided the resources or counsel to accomplish what he wants. And what I see in the life of Starfish and stuff is that God has provided. God's faithful. That's just one example. But God manifests his faithfulness in his counsel to us. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him. And what? He will make our path straight. That's a promise. That's God's faithfulness. So he shows him his faithfulness in his counsel to us, which it says in Isaiah is in perfect faithfulness. I'm going to pause here a second. You may be right now in the middle of a time of your life where you are debating. He better says, I'll make your path straight. It doesn't seem very straight right now. It seems pretty bumpy. It seems dark. But he also says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So every once in a while, it gets kind of dark. But guess what? He's still there. His rod and his staff will comfort you. God's plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. Another thing why he manifests his faithfulness is even in our afflictions or difficulties. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous. Or, Lord, the things you do are righteous. And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Well, takes faith on our part, doesn't it? You may say, well, man, Lord, how come you're blessing this guy, but everything I'm doing turns sour? You know what the Lord says? Trust me. I have you in my hands. And so we either cling to that as a promise or we go through like a zombie through life. But here's what I have to say, and I'm not speaking from a place where I don't know what I'm talking about. We've got to trust God during the storm. And it says here, even in our affliction, he is faithful. God manifests his faithfulness through his promises. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Micah 7:20. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our fathers beforehand in the days of old. Friends, God's never changed. I mean, I can't find any place where God made a promise and he says, I changed my mind, I'm going to, you know. God is not capricious. I believe he manifests it. He's encouraging saints to depend on him. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to the faithful Creator in doing what's right. He's the faithful Creator. He's not some mad scientist in the cosmos dangling our lives and souls above the flames, and having the angels jot down, well, Gary twitched today, okay. You know, no, it's not like that. We're his children, and it tells us in Romans chapter 8, who he predestined that we may know that we be conformed to the image of his son. That's the end game, is that we, and that's his promise. And that really is the promise here as we look at Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's how we should live. Here's the promise. The promise is this: we are sanctified and we will be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that accomplished? Because of God's faithfulness. I have to cling to that. Because I'm in the middle of something in my life. Well, Lord, I don't know how you're going to provide that, but this is, I think, what we need. And so, if the men and women of Scripture had to live that way, right? And God provided, then my clear assessment is this: God's going to provide. God's faithfulness applies to a number of things. First of all, it applies to what we call temporal blessings, or the blessings on this earth. I love Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives mercy and glory. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord my God, how blessed is a man who puts his trust in thee. In our lives, this is the challenge. Is God is calling us, put your faith in me. Depend upon me because I am utterly faithful. God is faithful. He called you. He will bring it to pass. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of the 1800s, He put it this way. It's very poignant. Oh, I pray you, doubt God no longer. Please not Satan, and vex not yourself at indulging any more those hard thoughts of against God. Think not it a light matter to doubt Jehovah. Remember, it is a sin, and not a little sin either, but the highest degree of criminality. The angels never doubt God, nor does the devil. We alone, out of all the beings that God has fashioned, dishonor him by our unbelief and tarnish his honor by our mistrust. Shame on us for this. So do I ever fall to the temptation of not trusting God? Yes. Do I ever fall to the temptation to be anxious? Yes. Worrying? Yes. And I have to take it from a perspective, take a step back and say, well, how does God look at that? God sees that as a weakness in me. Because he has said, Gary, I've done everything I can do to show you and prove to you that I am completely faithful. God is faithful who called you, and he will bring it to pass. So God blesses us with temporal or earthly blessings, but also spiritual blessings. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God supports us through our temptation. We've already read that. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you can endure it. God supports us in times of persecution. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look around you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I've been alive 60 years. I'm a student of history. I think there's some quite bizarre things happening in our world today, in our nation. But here's what I believe. I mean, I had friends of mine who told me about, hey, a couple weeks ago, 20 some odd churches in India were burnt to the ground and their pastors beat up or killed. Doesn't even make the papers here, right? And they come up with a list that there's another 250 or so churches that are on their hit list. So the question is that, well, that's, you know, it's because the Indian government is not really forceful about protecting religious rights. I don't know what will happen in the United States of America, but here's what I do know, is that the Bible tells me that all those who desire to live godly in this world will be persecuted. And I don't look forward to that. Most persecution I've ever received is friends of mine not wanting to hang out with me because I was a Jesus freak or something. Or somebody saying, oh, you're one of those Christians or whatever. I've never been slapped. I've never been threatened physically. Maybe a time in Africa when I was there but I think it's because I didn't want to buy somebody's bongo drums and, you know, it had nothing to do with the gospel. But here's what I got to tell you. We will not make it. You can't make it alone. You can't make it in this life, and you're not going to make it to heaven without the faithfulness of God. That's how we get there. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Verse 2 says, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. The word there, the Greek word, is pioneer. Why? Because he's been there and back. You want to get to heaven, you want to make it through this life, then follow the one who had perfect success in life and has been to heaven and back. Lastly, in his faithfulness, it tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, this is his promise, which is in himself, he made to us. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. God calls us to this. God calls us to himself, and as God calls us, he will finish it. Here's three things as we close. First of all, I love the pastor, old pastor, Vernon Grounds. Vernon Grounds put it this way. Be faithful and then leave the results to God. So here's three things about our lives. One, we are works in progress. Whose work? We are God's work, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're his workmanship. So that means that each one of us in this room, God's working on us. Next, God will complete his work. God will complete his work. Let us make sure that purposely we're not taking the paintbrush out of God's hand. Or let's use a chisel. You're a piece of marble and he's chiseling away. That's a little bit uncomfortable. You're chiseling and, friends, don't take the chisel out of the master's hand. Tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, that our discipline may seem painful in the moment, but that's how fathers treat their children. So first, we're all works in progress. Next, God will complete his work. And lastly, God is not finished yet. God is not finished yet. First, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The work's begun. The work's begun. Anybody here have any projects at home that half finished? I have an excuse now because I've got a bad shoulder. Not really. I mean, all the things I'd like to accomplish. But here's what I can tell you from this passage. God is faithful. He who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. He will bring it to pass. So if God has called you to be a blessing to Haiti, or as God has called a church to be a blessing and part of the solution to Lake County, then he's going to provide everything we need to be as Christ to this place. It starts with the individual. It starts with each one of us getting serious about our relationship with God. Now, we provided in the back of these our chairs. I'm going to grab one right now. All kinds of stuff, how you can tell us who you are, prayer requests. But on the back is a plan of salvation. How does a person become a Christian? You become a Christian through prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It's an interaction with God. We admit that we have sinned and we need his forgiveness. We believe that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins and rose again. And we confess Jesus Christ is both is Lord in our life. It's not just words, friends. He understands the condition of our heart, so anyone can say words. The Spirit of God calls you. It's kind of like a knock. He's saying, hey, you need my help. You're on a path to destruction. You can't fix yourself. So that's where it starts. And let me encourage you, if you've never surrendered your life to that call of God and received him as Lord and Savior, then that's what you need to do. If you've already made that decision, then here's what I would tell you. God's faithful to you and wants to complete the work. He will complete that work. So don't wrestle with it. Allow him to have his way. Be engaged in the process. If you want to know how to be engaged with the process, just read the Bible and it'll say, well, here's love your neighbor as yourself, or pray always. So all the things that we ought to do, but ultimately this, here's how we get there. Here's how I'm going to get there. Here's how I'm going to get through this day, this next week, this next year, the next decades, until the Lord brings me home. It's because of his faithfulness. There's a wonderful chorus. It was actually when the church was beginning to transfer, this is now 30 years ago, from hymns to more choruses. This is one of the earlier ones. He is able. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle everything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. And here's the question I want to ask you. Are you willing in your life to allow Jesus Christ to make you the way he wants you to be? Are you willing with your life to say, Lord, give me a big vision. I want to be part of the solution. And that he would provide everything you need as he gives that to you. Well, we're going to stand and sing He is Able. And if you don't know it, then you'll learn it today. Good song. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me. I want to challenge you to don't have a small vision for your life. Don't have a small vision for our church or your family. Have a big vision because we have a big God. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's something great that I can do for you? For you alone are worthy. Expect that. And that greatness will not come with cars and houses and stuff. If God wants that, he only gave you that you may be a blessing to others. He trusted you that as a faithful servant, a faithful steward. But I want to challenge you, have a big vision because we have a big God. We can't outgive him. God wants to use each one of your lives to make the difference in someone else. Heavenly Father, we ask now, we know that you're able to accomplish what concerns us today. And we may be in the midst of some very difficult times where we don't know where the resources will come or where the energies will come or the patience will come. But you know. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You who have called us. And you will do it. You will bring it to pass. Oh, Father, we ask your blessing, continued blessing on Starfish Ministry. On all involved with that, we pray that your gospel message of power and transformation will spread throughout all of Haiti. We pray the same for our county, that we would be at the forefront of intersecting people's lives with the good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.